This is On Location. I'm Tim Leitner. Today's episode comes to you from California and Illinois. But first, On Location is produced by the NCO Communications Committee with special production assistance from Joe Mamlin and me. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, Breaker, iHeartRadio, and Radio Public, among others. So subscribe today on your favorite podcast service and tell all your friends. How can you constructively navigate sometimes difficult conversations? Join Emily Jernigan of California Department of Child Support Services and Pat O'Donnell of Young Williams as they discuss the importance of crucial conversations with Jasper Jacobs, training facilitator from the California Department of Child Support Services Training and Development Unit. As we continue our personal and professional development journeys, the tools and techniques described will help us master our dialogue. Listen to learn more. It's going to be a great show, so stick around, and we'll be right back.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the NCO On Location, dedicated to helping child support professionals continue their professional and personal development. This is Emily Jernigan of California Department of Child Support Services, and joining me as co-host today is Pat O'Donnell of Young Williams, based in Illinois. Our discussion today will focus on crucial conversations, tools for talking when stakes are high, a development series from Patterson, Granny, McMillan, and Switzler. Today, we'd like to welcome Jasper Jacobs, training facilitator from the California Department of Child Support Services Training and Development Unit. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Hello, I'm excited to be here today. My name is Jasper Jacobs, and I'm currently a part of the training and development team at the California Department of Child Support Services. I've been with the department for over a year and a half and dedicated my time to enhancing the skills and knowledge of our DCSS and local child support agencies here in California. But prior to this, I was with CalPERS, and throughout my career, I've had the privilege of teaching a wide range of audiences, from second graders to college students and now professionals. One of the most enriching aspects of my career has been the diversity of the experiences I've gathered along the way. However, I look back and I often wish that I had acquired some of these skills I now know much earlier in my life. They would have been invaluable in navigating both personal and professional challenges. And on a personal note, my journey through child support system has given me a unique perspective. You see, I've seen the many sides of child support as a child of a mother receiving support, and now as a parent who was paying support and is now receiving support. So this experience has really broadened my understanding, but also deepened my empathy towards the situations many of the customers find themselves in. And so today I'm here to share my insights from my professional and personal journey, hoping to add some value to the discussion today. So thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, Jasper. So let's talk about crucial conversations, building relationships by mastering dialogue. Can you give us some background on what that is and how you became interested in this topic?
Yeah, it's a little bit different for me. I started after crucial conversations was kind of brought in, and I came on and there were already trainers working for DCSS, training the staff. And so I don't have a lot of firsthand knowledge, but what I do know is that we did have we have an executive leadership team that meets and they discuss books, and Crucial Conversations was one of those books. And it really started our leadership down the path of how can we implement this? And with that being said, Crucial Conversations was then brought in. We've since broadened our training for DCSS staff. We do the Crucial Conversations for Mastering Dialogue, and now we're doing Influencer as well. And really, these books do influence communication and conflict resolution. And you might not think that there'd be a lot of internal conflict with DCSS, and there really isn't, but sometimes things happen. There's high stakes going on, and these are crucial conversations. And by using the tools in the book, we're able to build upon and strengthen a lot of relationships. So I would really encourage you, if you can't take the training, go down to Amazon or get onto Amazon, I guess, and download either the audiobook or the book itself and start learning some of these tools.
That's a great tip. Thank you. So what makes a crucial conversation different from a typical conversation?
Well, crucial conversations have really three main characteristics. You're going to have some high stakes, differing opinions, and some strong emotions. And so usually typical conversations are not anything like that. They're going to be low key, low stakes, casual nature, and there's going to be a general agreement or, you know, even if there is a disagreement, it's really not a consequence if there is disagreements, because it's like, oh, well, he's going to have a soda or whatever, and I'm going to have water. Whereas a high stakes conversation can affect the dynamics, decision-making process, and of course, the importance of some of the outcomes. And then we also have that aspect of differing opinions. So differing opinions in crucial conversations require more careful navigation than you would in a typical conversation. And of course, emotions come into play. Strong emotions can escalate conversations quite quickly and make it quite challenging. So being able to have the communication skills, and these are advanced skills, to have crucial conversations, which includes active listening, being empathetic, and articulating your own thoughts, are very important. Because the outcomes are important. The outcome of a crucial conversation has significant implications, unlike that water or soda discussion we kind of alluded to earlier.
All right, let's discuss how crucial conversation skills are particularly relevant in the challenging child support cases. People sometimes talk about getting stuck in conversations. What are some tools to help us get unstuck?
Well, getting stuck usually occurs when a conversation becomes either emotionally charged or misunderstandings arise. So anytime you feel yourself stuck, it's probably because you're either A, not having crucial conversations that you need to have, or if you are having them, you're not having them very well. So recognizing the signs of being stuck is very important. And some of those are when people start to retreat, they start to shut down, or in some cases it becomes the opposite and they come to verbal violence. They start to get louder, more forceful with their tone. And with that, we implore some tools. So the first tool is active listening. Now, active listening, of course, is ensuring that you understand and validate the other person's perspective. So a tool for that in particular is to rephrase. Hey, Pat, I heard you say this. Is that what you meant? And then asking open-ended questions. So discussing the importance of the questions so that it's not a yes or no answer. It needs to have the ability to expand upon and rephrase and really get to the heart of the matter so that there's true understanding. Another tool is using I statements. So the use of an I statement is to express one's own feelings and perspectives without blaming others. So I feel as if you intended this. Is that what you meant? Because that really doesn't make me feel so good. And these approaches can really help in de-escalating conflicts, right? The other one is, especially in child support, is finding common ground. Identifying the common ground that is shared for the goals or the interests. And a lot of times it's the child, of course, right? So we want to focus on the commonalities and how we can create a conversation that is more productive. And this is one that I wish that I would have known a long time ago because, you know, I'm 6'1", I'm 300 pounds, I'm a big guy. I raise my voice just a tad bit and people are like, "Ooh, he's angry." And it's like, I'm just a loud guy in general. But yes, I'm a little annoyed, but I'm not going to do anything. But take a break. So take a break can really help you take a step back, think about what's going on, especially when those emotions are running high. The one key element to this that I would say that everyone should know is that yes, it's okay to take a break, but you really need to make sure that you set a timeline of when you're coming back from that break. Because for individuals that don't feel as if you are interested in the topic, they might feel like you're walking away and never discussing it ever again. And that will create even more emotion and it can get very intense. And I truly wish that I had known that a long time ago. Now, these are all great tools, but you're not going to use them every time. You need to be able to use different tools as they're needed. So you need to be adaptable, and you need to be able to use the tools effectively when they're appropriate.
These are great tips and important things to remember, particularly in the heat of the moment when you're trying to figure out how to effectively communicate. So thank you for sharing those, Jasper. So why is it important to tell a story during a crucial conversation?
Telling stories really humanizes and gives context to the conversation. Stories really make abstract ideas concrete and relatable so that people understand what's being discussed. You can also build empathy and understanding between you and the other individual. You know, a well-told story really allows others to see things from different perspectives, whether it's your perspective or even somebody else's. And then if you think about it, a lot of times we tell our kids stories because we're trying to clarify complex points or concepts. It's the same idea when you're telling a story. And storytelling also can create non-threatening environments. It can also encourage openness. And the importance of a safe space in crucial conversations for an honest exchange of idea is paramount.
What are some tools or techniques to keep a conversation safe? How does content versus perceived intent play into a safe conversation?
Well, a safe conversation really just means that the dialogue between two parties is in a safe place, meaning that they can comfortably express themselves without fear of negative consequences. And when we look at distinguishing between content, what the individual is actually saying, and the perceived intent of that conversation, that's where problems occur. So when we are looking at content, we want to be able to see what the actual words were said versus what I might have interpreted, or I might even feel what is the motive behind the words. So a lot of times misinterpretations often arise from differences between the speaker's intent and the listener's interpretation. Basically, when you're communicating, one person's encoding it and the other person's decoding it, and you're not always using the same decoder system, right? Some people might think that one word means one thing and another word means another. And quite frankly, definitions have so many different variations that it could have meant anything. So what you need to do is really clarify with the individual, hey, this is what I heard. Is that what you meant? And sometimes you'll get, oh yeah, that's exactly what I meant, which might be a problem. But then other times you go, oh, I am so sorry. That's not what I meant. I intended at all. Maybe we should revisit that. And then the other way that we can get some clarification when we're talking and encoding and communicating is to actually use open-ended questions. So, you know, hey, could you explain this to me? A perfect example of this is actually a video that they have in the training in Crucial Conversations. And it's the same video two times. The guy's same body language, same words, same environment. Everything's the same, right? But when we add context to the video, first as these two are best friends, and then we change that context to these two are frenemies that are really peers that are going after the same promotion. And you listen to the conversation, and the conversation basically goes like this. The gentleman on the left is sitting there. Gentleman comes in from the right. He says, hey, I heard that you were in a meeting and you're having some issues with budgeting. Would you like me to give you some pointers? Now, as a friend, somebody coming and saying that to me, it's like, oh man, I appreciate you. But as the guy that's trying to get the job that I want, no, get away from me. I want nothing to do with you. You're trying to, you know, take control of the situation, and I don't want that. So I will go to somebody else before I even talk to you, right? And yet the same situation was there. And so we really need to make sure that the speaker's intent is there and what the interpretation is there as well. So, you know, just because they're frenemies doesn't mean that he might actually be a caring guy trying to help this frenemy, but the guy that's trying to get the promotion does not think that.
Yeah. So, Jasper, in your experience, how have you seen these skills make a difference in the day-to-day work of child support professionals?
I admit to you, I am not front of the house, customer facing, whatever you want to call that individual, our caseworkers. I don't deal with, you know, clients or parents or families, anything like that. But I do deal with the internal aspects. You know, I work in the policy area, so we have discussions on policy interpretation. And these are really high stakes situations where, you know, emotions do get charged because we're on timelines. Things need to happen. People are worried about, is this going to, you know, get implemented effectively and efficiently? I have been part of work groups where the work group is working on a new legislation policy and timelines are getting really crunched, and you have to really step back for a second and take that position of, okay, what's our mutual goal? How can we get there? I know that this individual is stressed out, worried, you know, there's issues on the other end that they're dealing with. So you have to just make sure that when you're having discussions that we're clear and we're precise on our communication to avoid misunderstandings. Time pressures are things that create high stakes. Without even trying to make a simple thing hard, if you put timeline on it of, I've got to get this done in a day when really it probably should take you 2 weeks, that's a problem. And so we have to be able to communicate effectively with our supervisors. Our supervisors need to be able to effectively communicate with us. But when we can do that, that does then lead to successful outcomes. And that's where this tool really helps internally to help, you know, get that clarity that we need and focus on the urgent implementations. And sometimes emotions are just charged. People are frantic about the projects that they're working on. And so you really need to make sure that you have empathy, you're actively listening to what's going on so that you're not having conflicts that escalate. And then we want to think about the emotional context when we're resolving disputes as well. And we want to facilitate cooperation. We really do believe that communication is very important here at the state. And so that was one of the reasons why we did bring on Crucial Conversations to help our staff with their communication tools and skills. They've helped us working with our local child support agencies and stakeholders. And I'm sure that in the future, we will see DCSS working hand in hand with local child support agencies to really train their frontline customer service staff as well, because these are going to be essential skills, especially when we're talking with parents and sensitive interactions with those parents. There definitely needs to be a balance between policy enforcement and empathetic communication. And I think having the skills available to our staff can really help them with parents, as well as communicating back to the state and even our legislatures, hey, we have some issues and concerns that we need to work with. And, you know, like everything political, there are going to be times that there are going to be varying opinions on child support, and there are going to be varying opinions on how it should be implemented, and the payments and the processes and all the other things. So we really need to have skills to be able to discuss these issues and negotiate and be able to mediate to find that common ground. Crucial Conversations is not only important for back of the house staff, it's important for front of the house staff as well. And just because some of us don't interact directly doesn't mean that we don't interact indirectly as well. My trainings have an impact on caseworkers, and then the caseworkers have an impact on our clients.
You've mentioned a number of practical steps that I believe our listeners can apply to situations that they encounter. And I think one of the really critical points that you've made is remembering not only we need to assure that we're following policy, but to remember there are human beings on the that we're dealing with. And how they see us, hear us, perceive us is critically important, whether you're dealing with a colleague or a child support program participant. And I think that's really invaluable, Jasper, and certainly one of the key takeaways for me, as I'm sure it will be for our listeners. So do you have any stories that come to mind where crucial conversation skills made a real difference with a coworker or a child support participant?
So you asked, do any stories come to mind? And of course, stories do come to mind, but I have to be very mindful of what I speak and say. But in terms of one area, might be mastering our stories. So we do have discussions between upper management and lower management and staff at times. And there have been conflicts that I've seen where people were upset with an individual because they felt as if that individual didn't care, or that individual was rude, or any number of things. And really what has happened through the training is that we were able to have these discussions openly in a safe environment and allow both sides to really communicate their intents, and really get a mutual outcome going. And I've seen a large shift in some of the culture in terms of this area. I will admit that during some of those conversations, they were very emotional. There was definitely high stakes and of course, varying opinions. I personally was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. This guy's great to me. I don't have any issues. Whereas the other opinions were, well, this guy, XYZ. And when I say guy, it could have been a woman as well. It's just happenstance. We really just need to understand the emotions and the stories that we're telling ourselves. And a lot of times the stories was, well, this individual doesn't trust me. And so we got to a point where we understand that it's not that he doesn't trust us or she doesn't trust us. It was more that they're nervous because, you know, it's important. And they didn't know how to communicate that. So we also have... making conversations safe. So I know that personally, when a conversation doesn't feel safe, it really shuts me down, or in some cases I can go into verbal violence, which is just raising my voice, being more aggressive. For me personally, I had a manager at one point in my life that liked to use profane language. And at one point, he definitely made me uncomfortable. And this isn't at child support. I want to throw that out there right now. It's one of the reasons why I'm not at that place anymore. I never really felt safe. And yet, if we could have come to that mutual respect, that mutual purpose of what we were trying to do, I probably could have worked through it. As an individual, I love the guy. As a boss, no way. Never felt safe. So remember that when we're having conversations, we want to be able to be in a position where both parties can really express what they're feeling without fear of retaliation. And then lastly, we've got recognizing mutual outcomes. So a lot of times staff members will talk to us about conversations they've had with clients or customers, you know, whether that's parents paying support or persons receiving support. And they can be hostile towards each other. And a lot of times you just need to remember to remind them that the mutual outcome that they're looking for is the safety and health and well-being of their children moving forward. And a lot of times as a parent paying support at one point, and now as a person receiving support, I have to remind myself that, you know, the most important thing is my son or my daughter.
Do you have any additional ideas or insights or innovative approaches that you'd like to share with our listeners?
There's an acronym that Crucial Conversations uses. It's CPR. Now, that's not cardiopulmonary resuscitation. It's actually an acronym for, is this a context or a content issue? Is this a pattern issue, or is this a relationship issue? And what that those items really come down to is, if it's a content issue, if you step back, you clarify, you ask questions, that's really going to be defusable. Pattern issues. It's a pattern of behavior. They continually do that. That's when this becomes a true crucial conversation, because a lot of times with patterns, people start to get emotions involved. Things become more high stakes. And of course, there are varying opinions. And then lastly is that relationship. Is this a relationship issue where I don't really trust this person, I don't like this person, or I just have a bad taste in my mouth? So when you're having an issue, kind of take that step back and ask yourself, is this CPR? Which one of these is it?
Well, that's interesting. So Jasper, are there any specific challenges in the child support communication process that Crucial Conversations training directly addresses?
I don't think that, from my perspective, Crucial Conversations really addresses any specific issue in terms of conversations or communication specifically. I think really Crucial Conversations is universally applicable, and whether it's your personal life or your professional life or how they might even interconnect. The book really is more about providing tools for effective communication in challenging situations. And it doesn't really focus on specific topics. But if you take a step back and look at a systematic approach, you can see that it's a great tool no matter what the conflict is. And what that means to me is that it's applicable in child support communication, because the book really emphasizes open and honest and respectful dialogue that can be beneficial, especially in sensitive situations like it is in child support. And again, we're going to go back to that creating a safe environment for discussing difficult topics, just like we do in child support. So use those tools of empathy, use those tools of open-ended questions, use the tools provided in the book. And then there are other tools that the book goes over that we really haven't discussed, but one of them is, start with the heart. What is the heart of the conversation? How do you feel about this? You need to master your stories. And this can really help our child support discussions in the future. It's going to allow them to be more focused and more productive. And I think more than anything else, especially when it comes to child support, we need to realize that there are going to be others' perspectives. It's a delicate matter, and we're not always going to agree, but we need to move forward for the mutual benefit of the kids involved in the situation.
So Jasper, do you have any last thoughts, ideas, or words that you'd like to leave us with today?
Multiple times already, but we really need safety in our conversations. We really need to make sure that we can make conversations safe, so that people feel as if they can speak their mind, their thoughts, without that fear of judgment or negative consequences. I also think that there's importance in mutual purpose. So earlier we talked about making sure that our mutual purpose is for the benefit of the children involved in the system. We need to realize that the children are our future, but at the same time, they're in our protection. We need to take care of them. And another one that's really important that we didn't get any chance to speak about is documenting the resolution. So you come to an agreement finally after this conflict. You want to make sure that you're clear about what's going to happen, who's accountable. So you want to be able to describe the who, the what, the when, the where, and how in this approach to ensure that there's thoroughness and understanding of the situation. It also creates like commitments and it's trackable. So overall, I would really hope that many state agencies, as well as if you have local child support agencies, really look into providing Crucial Conversations training for their staff. Communications is at the heart of all human interaction. And I think that it would be very beneficial for everyone, whether you're a child support professional or just Joe Blow off the street. And for that, I want to thank you guys for inviting us here today. It's been a pleasure. It's been a unique experience, as I've never done a podcast before. And with that, I hope everyone learns to communicate more effectively and works towards a better and brighter future.
Well, Jasper, thank you so much for joining us. You came across as a seasoned veteran, so I would never have known this was your first podcast. So I really appreciate your time and your expertise and the opportunity to share this really important topic with our listeners throughout the country. So I wish you the best going forward, and I look forward to talking with you again. Thank you.
Thanks again, Jasper Jacobs. Your insight on Crucial Conversations will benefit our child support community, and we appreciate your sharing it with us. For ANSIA On Location, I'm Emily Jernigan of California Department of Child Support Services.
On Location is available on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. We have a lot of great episodes on the way, so be sure to subscribe and listen to all of our previous episodes as well. We also appreciate your ratings, your feedback, your comments, and your suggestions. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please reach out to us on the contact link on our website. On Location is a production of the ANSIA Communications Committee with special production assistance from Joe Mamlin and me. Thanks again for joining me. I'm Tim Leitner, and this has been On Location.